Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Goddess Alive Radio. Boy, it's been a couple of weeks. I am really excited to be here tonight with Maya Toll, who is just an amazing human being and priestess and founder of Witch Camp and Sage School, and she does all kinds of cool things. So we're going to bring Maya on in just a few minutes. This will be the last Goddess Alive Radio for a bit, about a month, because I am headed from South Florida back home to Delaware after 23 years. So y'all have heard me complaining about the heat for forever, and I'm headed to Four Seasons. So for that, I am so, so grateful. And I will be out of the state of Florida in another week and a half and driving north with all the goddesses. So very, very exciting. Anybody that is in the Philadelphia, Delaware, Maryland, that whole area, let me know because I'm going to be doing some more things regionally, locally, however. So, you know, get a hold of me through Mother House and say, hey, I'm in that area. But I will be announcing things, obviously. So before we get started tonight, and we're going to talk about this on the show because Maya and I were just talking kind of behind the scenes. So there's an incident, another event, tragic event going on in Nice, France. So I'd like everybody, if we could, just to take a big, deep breath tonight. Hug your loved ones. Hug those people that give you strength and support and love. Keep them close and let's send some light to France, and not just to France, but to everywhere in the world that needs it, because there's a lot of places that need it right now. And but Maya and I are going to talk about this, some of these hard things that have been going on in the past couple of weeks. We were just chatting about how sometimes it's really hard to know what to say. So we're going to talk about it a little bit tonight, as well as all the great things going on in her world. Little bit of housekeeping. MysterySchoolOfTheGoddess.net. Don't forget to pop over there. Check out all the new classes. I was on the phone today with Renee Starr, who has a new offering coming out that is all about animal totems and shamanism called The Wild Soul. That's going to be releasing soon. She has her Wild Witch Fall session as well. So, and Brandy Ossett has a writing program that I am really, really excited about. And so if you pop over to MysterySchoolOfTheGoddess.net or Red Holistic, you can get signed up with Brandy's new program, which is 15 prompts over 30 days. And that's going to be a really good time because, you know, she's a wonderful editor and writer and coach with all of that. That's writing The Wild Heart. Let me see. Molly Reamer's got tons of stuff going on. So anyway, just pop over there. Charlotte Elia, we've got a lot of new classes and new offerings. For those of you who are interested, my last broadcast completely from Florida will be jointly with Brandy on the 19th. We are going to be celebrating the Goddess Pele for the Goddess Full Moon Group. So you can sign up for that for free. I think that is all the housekeeping. We've got some really good stuff going on at MotherHouseOfTheGoddess.com. Our Mother Root Digest will be coming out this weekend, Sunday, Monday, because I have some Orisha stuff going on Saturday personally that I'm pretty excited about. So, and I have to pack. You know, I'm going to be a pod person for a couple days, and I have to pack. So look for that on Sunday, Monday, and it has a lunar theme. Lots of great articles over on MotherHouseOfTheGoddess.com. So, whoosh, astrologically, so much going on. Mary Lamondo covered some of the Uranus retrograde transit squares. Of course, I always highly recommend Chani Nicholas, who's like one of my favorite astrologers as well. So you can go to ChaniNicholas.com. She covers that, along with her weekly horoscopes. I highly recommend them. Absolutely fantastic and really dead on, you know, which is great because when you do general horoscopes, sometimes you don't get some of those juicy personal nuggets. Let's light the incense. Sit around. Breathe into the space. I have to tell you, I've been watching Maya from afar. MayaToll.com. So it's MayaToll.com. That's my pod being confirmed, so it's okay. My phone's ringing. She just has so much going on, and I'm just so delighted that we have been able to connect here. Maya has Sage School, which we're going to talk about, and Witch Camp, which many of you know about and we're definitely going to talk about. There's so many wonderful offerings and writings and store and products and all kinds of great stuff. So again, that's MayaToll.com, MayaToll.com. And while you're checking that out, let's just get Maya on the line. Maya, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
Hi. I am on one hand so good, and on the other hand, like, you know, inside my heart's breaking a little bit. But, you know, it's like a maintaining that balance at the moment.
I'm so excited to be here with you. And girlfriend, my busy has nothing on your busy. I was just listening to that list. I'm like, my goodness, I want to do all of it.
I know. I tell you, we are so lucky with the women and the teachers and the wise women. It's just, you know, our greater goddess community, Maya, I think is just amazing. I'm in awe of it every day, every day.
Wow. It's beautiful. Yeah, I love watching women come together. I think that's actually my greatest joy in all the work I do, is watching women come together.
Yes. And it's amazing, isn't it? And it's space that I think we really need more and more all the time.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's interesting.
So,
okay.
Oh, no, go ahead. Please continue. Yeah.
No, I was going to say, over in Witch Camp, you know, we've been having a lot of conversations about the power of women coming together and what we can do with that power in these really difficult and turbulent times. So I know we're going to get to that. And I'm a little trepidatious to talk about it because I know we're going to offend somebody. It just happens. So when we get there, you all just know that, you know, we are stumbling in the dark with our flashlights flickering just like you. But I think it's so important for all of us to attend to these conversations. And so we're going to model that. Hopefully we're going to do it really well.
I know. Well, you know, it reminds me of that poem, you know, when they came for so-and-so, I didn't say anything, and they came, you know what I mean? That one that goes on and on about silence. And I think that thoughtful non-silence is a good thing. I mean, obviously in this day and age of the internet, there's like no filter, and some of it is so horrific. It's like, you want to run and hide. But I think thoughtful conversation and, positive conversation. I think what has also been really interesting in the past couple of weeks is even just saying, I don't know what to say, but I just wanted to say that. I don't know what to say, but I'm feeling the feels here, and I'm, you know, standing here wondering what to say. And I think that's okay too, you know, to say, I'm not sure, but I want to raise my voice.
Yeah, you know, I'm so sorry. I'm not 100% familiar with your format. Is there any point where people can feed in, or are we kind of on our own and then we'll read comments later?
They can. They can if they want to. I mean, I see people on the back end listening. So, you know, especially tonight, if you'd like to jump on, I will always clarify that by saying, you know, we try really hard not to get graphic and ugly, and if it's hate speech, I hang up. So, but if you'd like to just raise your voice thoughtfully and say whatever you'd like. Yes, absolutely. I know we have quite a few people that are listening in. So, yes, you just press the button. There's, I think you have to press the number one button or something. It'll tell you. And you, it'll raise your hand, and I can unmute you. Isn't that so cool?
That's very cool because, you know, one of the things that's come up in Witch Camp is we're a pod of a couple hundred women. And
I love that.
And one of the things that we've been discussing is, you know how they have, like, sister city programs? And especially, they were especially prevalent in Europe after World War II. It was a way to get communities that didn't know each other talking. And so we've been talking about how, you know, the way to bridge gaps is to bridge gaps one person at a time. And so how do we, as a small little pod of women, reach out to other small little pods of women and start some kind of domino effect where, you know, like, people are like, can we have an exchange program? And I don't know what the answer is, but I keep thinking of the 13 Indigenous grandmothers, that idea of, you know, you get the leaders coming together and communicating to these larger groups, and how do we begin to create bridges so that no one is the other anymore, right? Like, after we all know each other and we're hanging together and seeing each other's rituals and celebrations and joys and horrors and, you know, all the different parts of other women's lives. Once you know people of all different religions and races, then no one's the other.
I
don't know
that.
How we can make that happen.
I think, you know what? Let me get out of my bandwidth of move, and then on the other side, I'm going to call you, and we are going to do it, because I would love to join our pod with your pod and reach out to other pods, because I agree. The more compassion that we have and understanding and that we can talk about. And, you know, we have some really interesting women in goddess community like Trista Hendren, who just did a book on, like, Muhammad, Jesus, and the goddess. Because I have to tell you, if you haven't read that yet, Trista's
coming on.
Oh, yeah. She's coming on Goddess Alive in September. And it was a fascinating book because it's an anthology. So there were women talking about being Muslim, you know. And so for me, that's a very other kind of thing. Like, I'm, you know, fairly versed in Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity, Judaism, you know. I'm not in Islam. So, you know, that would be a really interesting way to start taking the veil off of that other, because I think that's a big one right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm starting to have ideas, and I'm not going to spew them all on the radio because I don't know what will really stick, but you and I should definitely put our heads together. And for those of you who are listening, this is obviously a universal conundrum right now. So if you have thoughts, you know, let's meet on Facebook or on Insta, and let's start generating ideas, because we're already gathered, you know? let's use the power that we hold as a collective and do something. Like, I think there's this action piece, and I think that sometimes we don't know what to say, we don't know what to do, we don't know how to do anything effective. And so we freeze, right? And I think we have to get out of freeze. And even if you do something that's, like, not, how do I say this? It's hard to affect change on, like, the entire globe. But if we think of it more as building a web, not like we're going to go out and snap our fingers and change the world, but we're going to create this web, and then we're going to see what the web does. I think if we just take it step by step. Yeah.
Yeah. I really love that. I mean, I really live in a world, my paradigm is that love wins always, light wins always, you know, but we can't be afraid of the shadows, because that's exactly the purpose, you know? So if we can stand in our love and our light and embrace those shadows, understand them at least a little bit, we remove fear from the equation and all that anger and hate and everything that comes with it. You know, I'm not so Pollyanna. I'm a dark goddess priestess. I mean,
I don't have much Pollyanna in me.
Yeah.
I honestly don't even know that I can get all the way on board with Love Wins. I mean, I really do feel like it's kind of a yin-yang situation, and there's this flow back and forth. I always picture the yin-yang. Someday I want to get someone to animate this for me, because you know how in the yin-yang you have the white side has that little black dot, and the black side has the white dot in it?
Yeah. Yes.
I always picture that dot expanding and growing until it overtakes that whole side. And so the white side and the black side are always in constant flux with each other as they switch back and forth between the two colors.
I love that.
And I love that. The universe that way. It's like the inhale, exhale. There's just flow. There's flow, and we move. We move ourselves, hopefully in a direction that is more towards love and less towards fear and hate. But we do move. I think there are very few of us that don't have that moment where, like, that little bit of darkness comes in and we have to go, oh, okay, we've got to breathe that out.
Yeah. Or, you know, too, embracing, you know, I mean, that's that Kali, you know, that's even my mama, Oshun. And, you know, there's that righteous anger. And you know, it's very interesting to me, you know, thinking of, you know, the Amazons as an archetype. I mean, when you think about woman rage, right, and woman anger, when directed thoughtfully, provocatively, evocatively, I think it is one of the most powerful forces in the universe. I mean, you think about how we feel if somebody threatens our child, our lover, our loved one. I mean, women go, Mama Bear, plus, 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 Callisto, you know?
Yep, absolutely.
I wouldn't even
consider rage to be dark. What I consider
agreed.
To be dark is that... Right. What I consider to be dark is that moment when, you know, you're looking at someone on the street and you're thinking, that person, I'm not sure about that person. That person might be, and you put all your projections on them when they, you know what I mean? And again, fine line.
Yeah.
Right? 'Cause we do have intuition that says, watch that person. I lived in New York City for a while, and you pay attention to your intuition, you know? You move across the street if you need to.
Absolutely.
But I do think
maybe
that there's that darkness of putting our fear on someone else.
Yeah, and blind rage. I think, you know, blind rage or ignorant rage is really scary. I mean, I think this is that's the rage of, we talked just for, you know, briefly before air, about the other, right? And it's that rage of that fear of the other. That rage to me is very counterproductive. But you pull rage in for powerful good. It could be really amazing. Let's look at Sekhmet, right?
Yeah.
We look at
Kali.
We look at the transformers, the transformation goddesses of the world that allow us as women, as people, as human beings, into that energy and channel it effectively. It could be super intense and intelligently, I think, you know.
Well, it's interesting to start to think of all emotions as tools. And tools are neither good nor bad, right? It's what we do with them. So if you put all emotions into that basket, they can all go either direction.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's why I always like to clarify a little bit, that light and love, that's not so Pollyanna. That's the light coming off that sword, you know.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's the light too. But I will tell you, you know, the other morning, the morning of the Dallas shootings, after we had witnessed Alton Sterling and Philander Castile and the pain surrounding all of that. And that morning I went right to my knees in sadness and I called on Kuan Yin. That's who I reached mm-hmm. out to. Because I just felt so deeply grieved. I thought, well, we turn to the one who is compassion and mercy and kindness throughout everything. And it was like I didn't have that anger at that moment. It was like I needed Mama Kuan Yin, you know. It mm-hmm. was she who hears the cries. So
I just had this very visual, you know, when you see the footage of people being pulled out of their cars by the police and murdered. You know, they're often on their knees. And I just had that kind of parallel imagery of you on your knees and them on their knees. Like just,
It is. There was a really interesting comment too that I just want to mention briefly that was on Facebook, and I thought, God, it was such a powerful statement. Was that also that these occurrences, these events are not new. The cameras are new.
Mm-hmm.
The ability for all of us to see what is happening is what's new, not actually the events or the occurrences. I think it's a really powerful statement because, you know, our technology is at once overwhelming, but it also, again, is a really amazing tool, you know, for many people in their worlds to hear about, you know, a man who had, they said had a gun being shot by police. They would pass that off in a newspaper maybe or just hearing about it. But to actually see, you know, Alton Sterling and what happened, that there's no, in my mind, there was no question.
You know, it's interesting. Right before we got on, I was watching PBS, and apparently there have been 5 Latinos killed by police officers in the past week, and it hasn't made the news.
Oh, my. I had no idea. Right.
Yeah.
I had an interesting conversation with my son, you know, too, who's a big guy. You know, he's 19, he's 6'3", 300 pounds. I mean, he's a big boy. And we were talking about the perception of police officers because, on the other hand, I come from a family of police officers and firefighters. You know, I come from first responders. I worked in a level 1 trauma center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these, to me, are, you know, men and women I grew up with seeing as heroes, you know.
Yeah.
And those are the people who run towards the gunfire, towards the fire. So that's been a real struggle for me. But, you know, we were talking about the perception of police, and I said to him, if a police officer was approaching you, they're going to approach you differently than if you were 5'5" and 150 pounds or 120 pounds. They're going to look at you with a potential for more violence. Whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
And I said, and then take it to the next level if you have brown skin or black skin, right? Because then the other comes in. So, it, you know, these perceptions and filters, I think, are really being shown to us through horrifying tragedies so that we can really look at our own filters and perceptions. And some of this is a serious Uranus unveiling. Revolution. Let's talk about that, Maya. We were talking about revolution.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I just want to highlight what you just said because I think that this really is a mirror, right? It's a giant mirror for all of us to look at what's going on. And the other thing that I have to say, you know, this is a big country. I don't know how many police officers there are in this country.
Oh, I look.
Are there a million? How many are there?
Yeah, actually, there are a million. And in alternative agencies, there's another, like DEA and all that, there's another 765,000. Yeah,
okay.
But there's a million police officers.
There's a million.
I looked it up that morning. Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, if you think about this, there's a million, and within that, we have a dozen bad eggs. We have
right.
20 bad eggs. And, you know, when I start to think about, like, disease patterns and viruses and things like that, like, that would be considered, you know, if the CDC was looking at a disease, right, and that percentage of the population had it, it wouldn't be considered a big deal. Now, I'm not saying this isn't a big deal, but I just want to kind of highlight the fact that there are so many police officers who are out there
yeah.
doing an amazing job every day. And the focus, you know, the focus is going to, and it should, but
right.
we're talking about the police, right? It's almost like I want a different name for these people who are.
I know. Well, and
yeah.
you know, that's so true. It's like the same thing. And it's exactly, I think, like kind of like what, you know, the whole, you know, African-American community experiences too. It's like, oh, you're a black man, right? It's just like, oh, you're
yeah.
police, right? I mean, you think about that. That's that perception. That's that filter. And, you know, are all black men criminals? Absolutely not. I mean, that's like insane to even be, you know, think that.
Right.
And yet, here we are squaring off with these, you know, huge generalities. I think what I've seen in the past couple of days that's been really amazing. I don't really listen to rap music or anything. I'm a mantra chick. the Snoop Dogg, right, and some of the other rappers actually got a whole big crowd of people together and went down to the LAPD to tell them that they didn't think it was all police officers, and they wanted to start
yeah.
a conversation. And the video was incredible. It was so cool because it was like, you know, here are black men and here are police talking to each other.
Let's get this video posted. Will you share the link with me
yep.
so we can
absolutely.
Share it around?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. And I've been really digging the free hugs guy too, so... he's like so cool. I just found this guy the other day, young black guy. He does free hugs. That's his gig. And he's at this amazing like race or something, and he's running around with a T-shirt and signs. It's free hugs. He's hugging cops. He's hugging the runners. He's hugging everybody. And people are hugging him. And I'm like going, that right there. That is human. That's being human. I loved it. That I love. So, yes, I will share some of these with you because they were really amazing. And, again, I love that you said that about the mirror, you know. This is holding the mirror up to all of us.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's asking, you know, one of the things that it's asking us, like, you kind of put the free hug guy on one hand and, you know, all black men on the other. And you have these two very different things. Like we're not seeing the humanity in individual people. We're lumping.
Right.
Whether it's ISIS right. or ISIL or black men or, you
yeah.
know, like whatever it is, we're lumping. And that's the way the human brain works. I mean, it's really hard to get around because that's how our brain sorts information so that we can understand our world because there's just so much going on. But I think we do need to start to break that down.
Yeah. And look for the humanity, period. That's the
yeah.
that's the truth. And, you know, for me, it's very striking. I'm, you know, not only am I a goddess priestess, so, you know, my mother, my divinity, my deities come in an enormous range of colors. You know, and my Orishas, I mean, you know, I'm a 5'2", blonde-haired, green-eyed, Irish-German woman. Okay, Maya? Who's training to be a Lukumi priestess? Okay?
Yeah.
I'm taking my second initiation on Saturday in Lukumi.
Wow.
And
congratulations.
You know,
that's a lot of work.
Thank you. Yeah, and, you know, I'm a daughter of Oshun, the color of my mother's skin. And, my mother goddess's skin is the color of, you know, people that are being executed in the street like this. I mean, this is, there's this tug going on that's very, very hard, you know. And again, for me too, like working heavily with, you know, Hindu goddesses and, you know, or those that work with the Egyptian goddesses or any of the goddesses of color. I mean, do we ever say that? We never say that. We don't say goddesses of color. They're goddesses, period. Whether it's Black Madonna or my blue skin Kali, you know, or my coffee and cream Oshun. I mean, these are the faces of divinity.
Yeah.
So it's really amazing to step from that world into what is real world front and center right now, you know. So I have to say, I will just make a comment. I'll leave this out there to see if it makes any ripples, because like you said, we might offend some people. You can email me. That's okay. yeah, I get them anyway. But I will say the amount of men that are perpetrating the violence compared to women is something, there's not a lot being said about. And, you know, how we are raising our sons, I think, becomes very important in these times. How we're talking to our sons, helping them process this world and what's going on, is really important. Because there's a lot of male violence, in my opinion. Not all men.
No, not all men. But I do think from... So before I was focusing on plant medicine and then, you know, getting online, I was actually a teacher, and I taught for a year in Harlem at one of the public schools there. And what I saw happening, like boots on the ground, was that a lot of kids are getting raised in shelters. You know, they're in a single parent situation. That parent no longer has a home. They're being raised in shelters, and the ability of the mothers to mother is not there, you know, and it's not there because of poverty, because of drugs, because, and here we go, I'm going to say the thing that's going to offend probably more than one someone, because they couldn't get an abortion when they needed one.
Yeah.
You know, because they were in a situation where they felt like they had to have a baby even though they knew they couldn't take care of it. And there's also, this is really interesting, in the many of the different cultures I was encountering when I was teaching in Harlem, and, you know, it's a great big melting pot up there, there is honor in being a mother. Like, I was single woman, and the other teachers would say to me, "When are you going to get pregnant, girlfriend?" And I'd say, I'm single. I'm single. I don't have a partner to help raise a kid." And they'd be like, "That doesn't matter." You know, like, so it's so interesting because there is just a reverence on motherhood. Like, you become a woman when you become a mother, and that has ancient roots, that reverence. And so just really fascinating, though, how it can end up playing and getting distorted. You know, you have these young women who are becoming pregnant, and it's a rite of passage. It is a rite of passage. But they're in a position where they're going through this rite of passage, and on the other side, they're in trouble. Right. And I'm just, you know, I was listening to you talking about your goddesses and the different faces of your goddesses and just thinking about how much learning there is in that and in these different archetypes for women who, you know, don't have a good rooted, like, system. For many of us, we can root into our families, if nothing else. Even if we don't love everyone in us, we've got roots.
Right.
But
right.
A lot of these young women who, you know, were mothers of the children I was teaching, they were children themselves. They hadn't figured out how to support themselves before they became mothers. And I just make so many lessons on femininity and motherhood exist in the goddess circle.
Yes. And to see ourselves, you know, I mean, not only can we see ourselves, we can see each other in the face of goddess. You know, for every emotion that we have, for every challenge, every obstacle, every joy, there's a face of goddess. Talk about a mirror that works. I remember the moment after, you know, when I got home after I'd had my son, and I was standing in front of the full-length mirror, and I kind of snorted, and I went, well, now I really look like the Venus of Willendorf. Jeez, okay. You know?
That's so funny. You should bring her up, because we go through menopause early in my family. I'm only 47, but I've been menopausal for, like, three or four years. I mean, like, through it, all the way through it. And I had a Venus of Willendorf moment the other night. I'm looking in the mirror, I'm like, everything's kind of rounding and sagging, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, here we are.
And yet, it's one of the most ancient symbols of feminine, you know? And truly, I mean, the goddesses that predate, you know, our European goddesses, you know, are those that have the, you know, brown skin and the black skin, and, you know, it's just amazing. And I can't imagine, like, it's like I don't think that I ever consciously registered that until I really started thinking about it this past week. I had an Oshun moment. She was talking to me about things, and you know, and I just think about the joy that I've always had when I read about the golden skin and the blue skin, and the, you know, recently I was doing some work with the Morrigan, and it was, you know, her skin was so white, it was like a light shining, you know, through it. It was almost opaque, and you know, and I just, it's such a range of beauty to me. And these are powerful images, I think, for women that are absolutely vital to our human beingness, you know.
You know, there's some kernel in here. I don't know if you can feel it, but there's some gorgeous kernel in here that I'm curious to see how it grows.
Yeah.
There's a seed in this concept.
Yeah, I think that we could take it, and I, in our goddess community, I think. My experience, certainly in, you know, 22 years of being a priestess, and is that, I mean, knock wood, and in our community that I've experienced, I have not seen that other issue. You know, I've always seen people of color being treated the same as everyone else. I know that is not everyone's experience. It has been, thankfully, in my circles. In my group. So, but I think goddess community is a really great place to seed these sister cities. I like that idea, and that would create a domino effect, you know, because also too, we've got some really exciting things happening within traditional religious, you know, patriarchal structures where women are saying, we're looking to reclaim, you know, we're looking to reclaim parts of Judaism, parts of Islam that belong to goddess, that that the divine feminine needs to come back up again in Christianity, you know, more powerfully. Hey, how about that Mary Magdalene? I mean, you know, the Pope elevating it to a true feast day as an apostle of Jesus and making that statement. That was a very powerful woman statement that he made in doing that.
I missed that one.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
That.
So, yeah, so just in the past couple of weeks, it was really interesting. We've got Laurianne Lumbee is one of the instructors through Mystery School, and she's a priestess, a Magdalene priestess. And so we were planning a mini summit on Mary Magdalene with, like, Margaret Starbird and April Heaslip, some of the really cool people, you know,
mm-hmm.
that are doing Mary Magdalene work. And sadly, my move and other summer circumstances were bumping it to September. But anyway, we were going to do it on our feast day, which is July 2nd, or 22nd, sorry. Well, a couple weeks ago, the Pope elevated it from like a recognized, you know, feast of St. Mary Magdalene to a liturgical feast day and acknowledged her as an apostle of Jesus.
Wow. Wow.
And, yeah, I mean, you could hear patriarchal conservative male heads exploding everywhere going, but she was a whore. She was a whore, right? You know?
So
I kind of get a kick out of Pope Francis, you know.
This is the big counterbalance to Bridget getting kicked out. Be sainted.
Right.
Do you remember that? What was that, like?
Yes.
Just 7
yes,
years
yes.
ago?
Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was,
Yeah. My herbal teacher, I studied in Ireland, and the woman that I apprenticed to, I lived there for a year and
wow.
lived on her farmette with her, and she was a priestess of Bridget. And just, I think for me, like living with her and seeing the daily reverence, she kept an eternal flame going that was...
Oh.
They had relit the fires of Bridget in Ireland like 7 or 8 years prior to when I was there. And she had fire from that fire.
And she beautiful.
Yeah, and she kept an eternal flame going in a lantern on her altar. And just living with someone is very, very different than witnessing someone out and about or only in ceremony. You know what I mean? So to see the dailiness. I mean, keeping an eternal flame going, you guys, that is some serious, like, you're on all the time. You have to know how long your candle is going to burn for because you got to be there to swap it.
It's true. And I'm looking at the time. So I want to just kind of make a statement here. I would love to continue this conversation, Maya, and expand it because we have some great, I think, you know, women of color and priestesses whose voices need to be in here as well, and how we can unite our groups. So for everybody listening, start percolating, right? And reach out to Maya, mayatoll.com. Reach out to motherhouseofthegoddess.com. Send ideas. Let's not only get a conversation started, let's get a revolution started, a goddess revolution.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too.
I always thought that Baba Yaga would be great as like the head of the Air Force, right? You know? We can name our own, you know, militaristic cabinet. Baba Yaga. Sekhmet. There you go. Now we're cooking. But I want to change a little bit because I want to hear about Maya Toll. I want to hear about your herbalism and sage school and witch camp. Because otherwise, we could just stay on here all night and keep going, because I'd love it.
I do too, and I just I'm a creatrix. I love that moment of generation. Like, ooh, something's brewing here.
Yes.
But yeah, so I mean, the brief on me is I was your, well, I can't say I was ever mainstream, but I was, you know, I was a teacher, and I actually studied to be an interfaith minister, but I found that the schooling was just as regimented and full of silly hoops to jump through as everything else, and kind of gave it up. But I went off to Ireland to study herbalism. I had this, I don't know, life sometimes hands you something that you never expected, and I had one of those unusual opportunities, actually in my 33rd year, which I call the Jesus year, because it seems like a lot of women
yeah.
I know. Yeah, right? You, like there's
yeah,
death
it's
and rebirth
the initiatory
year.
Initiations,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not a priestess, and I'm not really strongly affiliated with any goddess. The Morgan and I have a long-standing relationship, and we sneer at each other occasionally. But I came up more through shamanism. And so in my 33rd year, I was getting some serious shamanic signs that, like, the cycle I was in was ending. And I had one of those faith moments where I quit my teaching job, put my house on the market, and said, okay, I don't know what you want from me, but okay, we're moving on. I kind of acknowledged that the cycle was ending and gave it space to end. And so I sold my house, and through a bizarre twist of fate, my town had really kind of come up in the world. I was in the Hudson Valley north of New York City, and the town I was living in got a museum. One of the New York City museums decided to open a museum in our town to put all its huge sculptures in. So all of a sudden, real estate properties in my town went through the roof, and I sold my house for 3 times what I bought it for.
Wow.
So, yeah, so all of a sudden, there I am. Like, I was a school teacher. I taught university. I taught second grade, fourth grade, poetry to K-6. And all of a sudden, I had $120,000 in the bank. I was like, oh,
nice.
My God. Yeah.
What do I do?
Yeah. What do I do? And so I gave myself a year. I gifted myself a year of, you know, you don't have to do anything resembling, quote, real life. And I went to Ireland and apprenticed myself to an herbalist and lived over there for a year. Yeah, it was an amazing, amazing experience. And for those of you who are into Wicca, I hung out with the Farrars a lot, who are some of the...
Janet and Stuart, yeah,
who's
now with Gavin.
Yeah.
So, yep.
Well, with Gavin, Stuart was no longer around. So that was amazing, and that was actually for me, like, living with my teacher, who was a priestess of Bridget, and hanging out with Janet and Gavin was kind of my introduction to the goddess world, because I was much more deeply immersed in the shamanic world and in that particular lineage. So, and it was very funny, because I remember Janet sitting on the couch at my teacher's house, and she looks at me and she goes, "The Morgan's child," and I got pissed. I was angry. Don't you talk about me, girlfriend? Yeah, I mean, it was really like, who are you to say anything like that? But it was funny, because in those circles, people took one look at me, and like, that was, it came in over and over again. And especially when I was living in Ireland, she and I had an ongoing dialogue. But interestingly, when I got really comfortable with that relationship was after the fact, and I was reading a book that this really lovely guy, I was in a Druidic fellowship over in Ireland, and he was in the same fellowship, and he was doing his PhD on Morgan, and he wrote a book that eventually was published, and I was reading his book, and he told a very old story that I'd never heard before about the Morgan traveling on a road through Ireland and these different experiences she was having as she traveled. And he was talking about how, you know, underneath everything else, her energy is about sovereignty. And all of a sudden I was able to go, wow, I can feel that. I can be with that. So she and I made our peace on that self-sovereignty level. But just really, you know, that was a really interesting journey for me because it felt like she was chosen for me. You know, I think that especially right. after you move out of the gods of your childhood, right? You say, the patriarchy, it's not working for me. I'm stepping out of this. And you make that big break with your family and, you know, the people who, for me, thought I should be in synagogue at the high holidays, you know. I remember a conversation with my brother-in-law where I was sitting on the porch and he was getting ready to leave synagogue and he said, aren't you coming? God wants to see you. And I said, do you believe that God is everywhere? And he said, yes. And I said, well, God and I can hang out on the porch.
Yeah. God sees me all the time. Isn't that cool?
He looked totally flummoxed and went off to synagogue. After you make that big break, right, from that, having other people once again kind of telling you who your God or goddess is not a comfortable thing for me.
Oh, that's interesting. So, very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's for me it was really funny just very quickly because I have very strong Irish German roots, right? So I lived in London for a few years. And I have never vibed with the Celtic gods. I mean, you know, I can recite the mythology, I know them, I can speak to them for others, they will speak to me for others. But really the Morgan's the only one who's ever connected with me. And that's because of my dark goddess tendency, you know. I mean, she would be the one. And I remember, you know, I got out to Hampstead Heath, standing on these, well, kind of near these ancient bogs, and I'm like, I'm here, look, like, we can connect. And it was like crickets, you know.
Yeah.
And the Orisha said, you're really ours, just quit it. And I just laughed, I thought, okay. But, So I think that's really, I love that, you know, she came to you too, is just such an interesting cross-cultural. I mean, who would have thunk at any time?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I think that for me, I tend to speak to the rocks and the plants and the natural world. And you know, I just want to say for those of you listening, when I say speak, some of you get this, but some of you are like, they never talk to me, and they probably do.
Right.
But they don't speak in words. And like, I, you know, I'm not one of those people who has, like, you know, the lady of the plant rise out in her beautiful gown. Like, that's never happened to me. But I know, you know, I've had conversations with standing stones and hawthorn trees, and it's not language. It's this deep inner knowing. And
yeah.
I tell my students, like, think about the thought patterns that aren't yours. They're going through your head. They think they're your thought, that you think you are having that thought. But pay attention and see, is it the way you normally think? Or that it's not, you know, that's the dialogue.
I love that is a beautiful way to, yes, explain that. That's great.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. We're running out of time.
Well, I added a little extra time, so we're good if you're good. So
I'm good. Yeah. So anyway, I mean, I'll give you the short of it is I came back from Ireland and I started teaching herbalism. And that's, you know, stage school. I finally got my classes videotaped. But here's the really interesting thing. You know, we're just presented with challenges over and over again, and we have to kind of work out how we can be in this world. So I have two herbs, and that was that big chunk of money. It was like first it was Ireland, and then it helped us to open our herb stores. And because I have herb stores, according to the FDA, I'm not allowed to make any claims about herbs. So if
right.
you ask me right now, right, on public free radio, what did I take for my flu? I couldn't tell you in a direct way. I have to kind of, you know, use masked language. And so I found that I was getting really frustrated in terms of the voice I was allowed to have in the world. And so my voice started to shift. I started to look for what can I talk about. And I realized that more and more I was talking about self-trust and intuition, knowing yourself deeply. And so Witch Camp sprang out of that. Witch Camp sprang out of the need to give women a way to tap into themselves. And our tribe is really interesting. Like, there's a lot of people who identified as recovering something, recovering Catholic, recovering Jew. Right? So we're not Wiccan. We are women learning to be reverent. And so all the lessons I learned from living with a priestess, from working with the plants and talking to them and ingesting that, from shamanism, from gardening by the moon in Ireland, we did biodynamic gardening, all of that gets woven into Witch Camp. Mm-hmm. And this idea that we don't have to identify our gods or goddesses. All we have to do is live in reverence, to make our lives sacred, to know ourselves deeply so that we can communicate with the world around us.
Oh, Maya, so beautiful. You know, I will also, just as a, you know, because I'm very goddess-centric, obviously, so for me too, one of my big mamas is Hecate, the Greek goddess.
Yeah.
She was the goddess who came in for me to assist me in mediating with my ability to communicate with the dead. That was shocking and confusing when you're young. And so Hecate is that's what she does for me. But what's so interesting is that, you know, her priestesses in the beginning and, you know, in the very ancient days were the keeners and the mourners for the dead. And then as more and more of the priesthood, male priesthood, became more dominant, you know, her priestesses became the herbalists, you know, the women in the woods, the women that the community would go to. And, you know, so when people say that Hecate is a goddess of witches, that's what they're speaking of. You know, her priestesses back in the day. You know, and so it's very interesting. It's only very, you know, Wicca is very modern, so it's only recently, so to speak, or through Hollywood, that witch and Wicca has become, you know, conjoined. And
exactly.
I like your broader definition better, because I think that is more the spirit of that witchy woman, you know, that woman in the woods, the wise woman. I like that. That's wonderful.
Yeah. And so a lot of what I have been doing is trying to just give the word new life, because I think that it's really important for women to have a word that marries spiritual with, like, the physicality of healing and with divine feminine. And witch does that. in a way that I haven't been able to find another word that does that.
Right. Yes. And I think women are really enjoying that word more nowadays. I think even 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it was a little bit of a scarier word. But there's something has shifted that there's more of an embracing that's happening with it.
There's still a lot of pushback. Like even amongst my witch campers, we have conversations about, you know, how hard the word witch is. But I think that it's almost like by stepping into using that word, by allowing yourself to join witch camp, you're breaking through this glass ceiling, which allows you to start to disseminate yourself in a different way and see the world in a different way. So it's kind of, you know, it's almost like I set it up as the first test, you know, like here's the gate. Can you step through? And the gatekeeper is that word, witch.
Wow.
Yeah, we do a lot of more hero's journey type of stuff, you know, like mutating it into the heroine's journey. So very, very parallel to what you do. But I think that I consciously leave anything that has preconceptions out of the mix because I want people to dig into themselves. And then people bring all sorts of things. Some people reconnect with their childhood religion. Some people connect with a goddess. Some people connect with shamanism, but I want that sense of openness. Like, dig in. Who's going to speak to you? Who are you going to speak to?
I love that. It's beautiful. It really is. It's very exciting, you know, to see what speaks, what or who speaks back when you just allow that question to rest in the universe.
Yes.
You know?
Allow yourself to know that there's a voice that's not human.
Right. I was going to say, there's always an answer. I mean, there's always an answer. You know, that is so fantastic. Well, I think it's very interesting. You know, there's been kind of this whole thing, you know, that has occurred, so to speak, with like the pagan community and the goddess community. And I keep them very separate because I think our goddess community is very, I mean, not that the pagan community isn't diverse, it is. However, I think our goddess community is even more diverse because we recognize things that are happening in, within traditional structures and patriarchal religions as an uprising, so to speak, and also the shamanic worlds. I mean, I know so many priestesses who moderate goddess and shamanic practice, and so much of what everyone does, I mean, obviously, Lukumi, Afro-Caribbean, I mean, it's shamanic, isn't it? I mean, really.
It is.
what's happening,
you know?
I mean,
it's all the same stuff. I feel like there are energies that move through the world, and we call them different things.
Yes.
And so,
yes.
You know, just because I'm not comfortable naming it, like I'm happier with it being named less, it doesn't mean that I'm not engaged with the same energies.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And see, I go right into my little file system, you know, it's like really funny in my brain and I go, oh, that's blah blah blah.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is great because you're able to give people an archetype that they can hang on to. I think, you know, one of the things that people have to get used to with me as kind of a community leader is I tend to present a world with very few landmarks. You know, I want people to dive into their inner landscape and create their own landmarks. And so we use the moon to give us some landmarks. But the lovely thing about, like, you having that file system in your head is you can give people landmarks. And I know when I was learning, I loved a good landmark. Go look up this goddess. Go look up this archetype. I think it's really important to be able to hook people into the energies by naming them.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think it gives you a safe place sometimes to start. If they're not familiar with or comfortable without structure, so to speak, or without landmarks, you know, sometimes I think that, you know, it was really interesting. I did with a group, we just talked about meditation recently, a couple months ago. very basic meditation, because all of a sudden they start hearing things like, I don't know how to meditate, or I don't meditate anymore because I don't think I'm doing it right. And it was just like this inner rumble, or these outer rumblings. And I'm like, wait a second, you know, hey, let's back up and let's talk about meditation and how it isn't what you think it is, kind of a thing.
Right.
And
right.
So it's very interesting. How do you like, I mean, obviously it seems like you have been called to be a teacher in every facet and evolution of your life. Is that where you foresee yourself in 10 years?
So I love teaching, and I think that, you know, teaching for me takes many forms. I'm really focused on writing right now, and I think that, you know, keeping a blog for 3 or 4 years really gives you a strong foundation, you know, in churning out the words in a way that connects with people.
Yeah.
So I think that that's where the teaching is going. Like, the teaching is going more towards teaching through writing. I also have a podcast with a friend of mine called the Lunar Lab Podcast. And we talk about where business and spirituality intersect.
I love that. Yeah.
We've been having a great time. And, you know, especially even if you don't have a business, we just did an episode on fire, on the element of fire, and talked about creativity and the creative cycle. I'm telling you, like, I channeled so much stuff on that episode. It is so, I've listened to it a couple times. It's so good. It was one of those times where I just got out of the way and stuff came out of my mouth. So yeah, if you want a little, you know, elemental moment, it's the Lunar Lab Podcast. And you can just like put in the Lunar Lab in iTunes in your Google search engine, and then the fire episode is,
there you go,
my favorite.
Yeah, and,
so
and
far.
And I think the link is on your site as well. Is that correct?
Is
that where I
saw
it somewhere?
It's on all my social media. It's on all my social media. It's not on my site yet because I have to. That takes a little more programming. But it's on all my social media. Yeah.
Oh, I think it was on Facebook. Yeah, it was on Facebook. I probably saw it then. And yes, which by the way, everyone, get connected with Maya on her social media because she's got a great Instagram. Don't you love Instagram? It's like my favorite platform right now.
It is mine too. It's mine too.
Yeah.
Because I'm really visual, and I focus so hard on my blog posts and really crafting them that, like, coming up with Facebook posts that are meaningful, and like, you guys don't need us to shout more stuff at you. Everyone is shouting stuff at you. You know, we don't need more people shouting.
Yeah.
I feel like if I don't have something worthwhile to say or to share, I'd rather not. But Insta's great. I walk around and take pictures. I feel like Instagram, and see if you can feel into this, it makes me pay closer attention to the world. Like, I'm looking for magical moments, right?
Yes, yes. Oh, that is so true. Yeah, well, you know, it's really interesting, Maya. So for me, I really, like, I've always loved photography. But after I separated from my husband and came back to the United States from London, I had done a lot of photography in London. And I kind of fell into that as a healing. And what happened, this is so funny, just very quickly, you know, was just in deep grief, sadness. It was just awful. And I had this, you know, little apartment on an abandoned golf course down here in Boca Raton in Florida, which even abandoned golf courses are not, like, overgrown crazy down here, okay? You know, they're still pretty manicured. But anyway, I went out, and it was like I'd just gotten off the phone with him, and we arguing, and I went outside and just kind of plopped. And all of a sudden I heard this noise, like a thump, 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 thump. I'm like, I look around, and there were hundreds of dragonflies around me. And I ran inside and got my camera after I made sure I didn't actually sit on any, and because there were so many, and I started taking pictures. Well, what happened is that, you know, that was in 2000, 2009. And it got me out of the house every day looking for dragonflies. And I kind of feel the same way, like, with all of the platforms like Flickr or Instagram. It does. It tunes us into our world. It allows us to shift our mood, our anything, you know, by being mindful and present. Everybody goes, you're always taking pictures of things, you're not present. I'm going, no, I'm actually really present. I mean,
I'm really looking.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And inviting the synchronicities of the universe, inviting that energy, inviting the spoken word, you know, however it wants to speak.
And I
love that. Yeah, so I really enjoy your Instagram. Like I said, it's one of my favorite platforms right now.
I'm
so excited. I was looking, I'll tell you, on your site, I was looking at your picture because I'm headed back to Delaware, back home, and I'm so excited for the Four Seasons. I cannot even hardly, I run around my house going, it's going to be autumn, you know?
That is my state. I love autumn. I think I said on the Lunar Lab podcast the other day, I'm change's whore. I am. And, you know, when we hit autumn and the leaves are changing and everything's changing, I'm in my glory. Yeah. So
I looked at that picture of you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, your picture with the leaves, and I go, oh, I'm totally having one of those. Somebody's got to take a picture like that of me. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So now, are you in Philadelphia? Are you in Asheville? Do you go back and forth?
So we live in Asheville, and just for those of you listening, I have a store in Philadelphia and a store in Asheville, so that's where the question comes from. So I live in Asheville. My husband does some back and forth. I'm really lucky because my husband took over the stores. I'm not a very good shopkeeper. That's not like a great, the stores came about because I was teaching and seeing clients, and my husband said to me, you know, you really need kind of like a public, like, place on the street, like you need a place to make your stand. And he said, why don't you open a little store? And so it started as a tiny little apothecary for my students and clients. And there was a need, and it grew and it grew and it grew. And so eventually my husband came on board, and he, thank goodness, took over the running of the stores, because I don't love doing ordering and books and.
All that
stuff. So I teach and I actually do a lot of our marketing, which I really love. Like, the blog actually started because a business coach told me I should do it for marketing, and it allowed me to reconnect with, like, the writing I've been doing my whole life, but had kind of, I thought, oh, you know, I think we all do this. We think, oh, I'll never be whatever. Like, because there's something in our culture that convinces us that if you're not instantly making money off of it or instantly famous from it, that you shouldn't do it. So I kind of moved away. I'd always been a writer, and I'd moved away from it. So the blogging as a business move got me back into my own writing, which is really gorgeous and beautiful.
I love it. So, you're a wonderful writer. You're very evocative, and you pull people in. Tell our audience, because I want them, you know, we've been talking about Witch Camp. So, you know, we've got, let me see, our timer here has about 15 minutes on it. So let's talk about Witch Camp, because I want the women and men who are listening to know how do they find Witch Camp and what's the process for that?
Yeah, so we always, okay. Hold on, back up, Maya. Witch Camp has two different arms. We have a community, which goes on all the time, and we have classes. And we always launch a class on October 31st, because you just have to if you're Witch Camp.
So
that is our, like, you know, that's our big launch for the year, and it's also usually the biggest class. For whatever reason, that little pocket of time really works for people. So we do a class on starting on Samhain and usually going through to like a week before the winter solstice. And then I do the journey of Inanna with any of the witch campers who want to join in. We do like a 1-day virtual retreat, and we do the journey of Inanna every hour. We go through a gate.
That's awesome.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. It's become a really powerful tradition. We, you know, every hour we go through a gate, and I set up a huge, my whole office becomes an altar. And, you know, we hop on a webinar every hour to check in. So that's an amazing day. Those are the fixed points in the schedule. And then the community is all year. And what we're doing right now is we're shifting things a smidge. I have a new setup in terms of like the technical back end stuff. And so only my long-term witch campers, I have like about 160 women right now who are helping me test drive everything and making sure that it's solid before we invite more people in. But in September, we'll be inviting more people in. And the way that that's going to happen is every new moon, we'll have a little onboarding class that will be free so that people can get a feel for what we do and see if it's for them. And then if they want to join the community after that, they'll be able to. So that will be in September. I'm actually really excited because this is my third year doing Witch Camp, and I finally have gotten to see experiment with enough things that I can see a different structure. And so I have Witch Camp counselors, and there's a path to counselorship within Witch Camp so that people can kind of evolve into counselors. And as you go through, we have different bunks. It's based on overnight camp, so we have different bunks, and you go up through the bunks. And as you go through the bunks, you know, you go from focusing on yourself to focusing on the community. And so it's this evolution from kind of, you know, that real inverse focus to being able to hold space for more people than yourself.
On this side of things, we call that priestessing, Maya, which is why in my head, I think of you as a priestess. And I'm going, yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, and you know what? I think the work that I do is priestess work, no doubt about it. But I'm not affiliated with any particular, no one has declared me. I'm not official in anyone else's eyes. So basically what we do is we bring people up, and what I'm really hoping for, so you can help me hold this intention, is I have a process that I do. I actually do it at the Women's Herb Conferences, and I do it with my little business group that I run. It's a community process to help people get through stuff, whether it's business stuff or healing. It's like the same process can be morphed to different things. And so what I'm really hoping is that as Witch Camp grows, the counselors I'll be able to do a live in-person for them and teach them this process, because it's such an amazing way to work with community and help a community to act like a community. Like, one thing I always say to my little group is, this is not a cult of personality. This is a community. And so, you know, how do I keep sending the energy around the circle instead of letting it focus on me? And I want to really help bring that into the world, because I think that women need circles, and women need to know how to create circles in their own communities so that they can have that support in real time.
Well, and I think it's so interesting because you are teaching very globally. You know, our focus is very global. And my thought process personally with that is that, you know, no, you don't want ducklings. You want independent women that are coming to a center place and then going back to their center place and activating that.
And from there,
it continues. It's that web. It's that weaving. And, you know, because the amazement to me of this technology is that nobody has to be solitary anymore. Nobody has to be alone anymore. There's ways, you know, to come, get what you need, go back, activate, you know, and spread the word.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And
exciting.
I love
so
that.
So exciting.
Yeah, it's really exciting for me because what I've heard, and I'm sure you're hearing the same exact thing in your circles, is, you know, women coming together and saying, I've always done this alone, and so I've never thought of reaching out beyond myself in this way. You know, like this,
yeah.
this part of me has always been private and secret because I don't have people in my community that I can talk to. And so, you know, cracking that shell and being able to be in community around your spirituality and your questions about your spirituality and the weird stuff you feel called to do under the full moon. And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I have women
oh, yes.
who never, I have 60, 70-year-old women who have never been able to talk about that stuff.
It's amazing. It's really it's amazing. To me, it's such a blessing because, you know, I was lucky. I wasn't raised Christian. My family always knew I was weird, I was different, whatever. Like, they always accepted me. It was really funny. And so, for me, that has never been an issue. Like, I was at Catholic school for our 8th grade fair. I set up a tent and read palms. I mean, that's what I did. You know,
I
so
love
that's
that.
Twitching on the sidelines, you know. So, okay. But, you know, when I hear these women, and we get the same thing, you know. So to me, it's just so tremendously beautiful that there are so many lighthouses out there, like Witch Camp and Sage School and you and, you know, what we're doing, what so many other groups are doing. It's really become so beautiful and accessible so that women can really find the space that they need. You know, they can really see if it's a good fit. And and there is always something else right now, I think. You know, that's what's kind of exciting, that you can really find a good fit for a community.
And that's, yeah, exactly. And that's part of the reason that, you know, I have very consciously kept Witch Camp kind of like nameless, you know, in terms of there is no prescribed way. There's no deity. There's what you feel within, because I think that it gives women, sometimes women who have been a little spiritually abused or who have just shut down, it gives them a place to just be.
Yeah.
And from there, they're going to come and join your community. They're going to go study shamanism. They're going to go dive into Buddhism or Taoism or, you know, whatever. But they have that kind of quiet space to learn to honor, to learn to step into the sacred, to have community, to start to live cyclically. We talk a lot about cyclical time instead of linear time. You know, the idea that when you're on linear time, everything happens once. So every moment is a big deal. But when you're on cyclical time, like, okay, you missed this new moon gathering. It's okay. Because we're on cyclical time, we get another new moon gathering. 28 days, it's coming. And I think it's such a relief for women to step into that. You know, one thing that I do, that because I believe so strongly in this being present in the cyclical time, is our lessons are up for that moon cycle, and then they disappear. I don't archive them. And that's really hard. Our type A women have such a hard time with that. They're like, hey, where's my lesson? Where's my lesson? I need it's on my to-do list. And I'm like, you know what?
I
Witch
love
camp
it.
It shouldn't be another stress in your life. You shouldn't have March's lesson on your to-do list. March comes again. You'll do it next March.
There you go.
Yeah.
I know. And cyclical time is seasonal. It's so, I think it is just so natural. It's really what our minds and bodies want to do, you know.
It lets us accrue knowledge, right? It lets us step over the same ground again, but from a different place in our own soul and psyche as we grow. And so we're able to build on our own learnings and lessons. And that's what I love, you know, that sense of that upward climbing spiral, that we're on the same ground, but we're seeing it from a totally different angle.
I love that. I do. I really do. I know. That's been, I'll tell you, cycles have been difficult for me in Florida because it's kind of the same all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
You know, there's no cue. You realize all of a sudden, you know, the first couple of years when you move to a tropical climate, you're like, ha ha, I'm in the pool. It's December, you know? All of a sudden,
like,
you realize,
pool.
Like,
it's
for
December.
Me, yeah. I'm like going,
yeah.
Where are those cues of the leaves?
Did you hear that? Did you just hear that crash?
Yes.
No?
What was the crash?
So I have this lovely little stool that someone made for me, and it's not like nailed together and stuff. It's all just hand joined, and the joinery just unjoined.
It just popped. Oh my God.
It just popped. I'm sitting on the floor.
Oh no.
The cookie is off her tripod.
God.
All right. That was fun.
Okay. Well, I think it was like you needed to be grounded very quickly.
I know. I'm like, woo. All right. We're getting up close and personal with the earth here.
Right.
So, yeah.
Oh my God. Are you okay?
I am fine. I'm fine. I'm just changing my perspective.
Right. Oh my gosh. Changing your perspective. Yes. Yes. Oh my goodness.
Oh man.
Well, I could talk to you for hours. Seriously.
I know.
Like, we could
so
just
much
go.
Fun. We probably should let everyone get on with their evening, so.
I know, and we should too. And however, the best part is we can do this again. So.
I would love to do this again, and I think we have some things to work on. So, all of you listening, please, you know, I am such a believer that the hive mind comes up with things that we, you know, can't come up with individually. So. I really hope that we can hive mind it and come up with some ways of creating a web of strength and support for women and men of all colors and nationalities and races and sexual orientations, and you know, just using what we know of community to shift things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to activate. And, you know, Uranus loves a revolution. That's where we're at, you know, right now. So
let's choose a different revolution. Let's choose our own revolution.
Yeah. I know. Let's choose one that doesn't include bloodshed and violence, but includes union and recognition and acknowledgement, you know, with a little Kali here and there. There we go.
So we can't give up on Kali.
I know. If we have a revolution and we don't invite her, Maya, it could be a problem.
She's coming anyway.
You're right. To right.
Yeah. She might be busy if we don't give her an invitation.
Exactly. So for our listeners, thank you. And to Maya, thank you. And please go connect Insta with her, mayatoll.com, MAIATOLL.com. All the goodies are there. I sank into your writing this afternoon and cruising through there. It was lovely. I mean, it's just a wonderful, informative blog. So, and all of your social media is beautiful. So get involved. And if Witch Camp appeals, get involved. I mean, this is how we become activated. So do it to it. Maya, thank you so much. You have like a standing
thank
invite
you.
And then we'll talk after.
Perfect. Good night, everyone. Good. Thank you so much for bearing with us on our, like, super long, fabulous call.
Yes. Thank you. And thank you to all of our listeners. Blessings, darling, because I'm going to be talking to you from my backyard up home in Delaware the next time that we gather. So I'll be thinking of everybody on Saturday. I'm sending out good ashe for everybody. And I'll see you on the other side, truly. So good night, everyone. Thanks, Maya.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.